It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five. Let's go. Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. You say so.
Number five.
Well, during an Oval Office press availability, the president addressed yesterday's bombshell ousting of John Bolton. He did not hold back on laying the blame for foreign policy missteps on his former national security advisor.
Frankly, he wanted to do things not necessarily tougher than me. You know, John's known as a tough guy. He's so tough he got us into Iraq. That's tough. And but he's somebody that I actually had a very good relationship with. But he wasn't getting along with people in the administration that I consider very important.
Pompeo, just say it. I mean, he'll say everything else because Pompeo hated him, so he's got to go.
The guy who was smiling brightly the day he was fired, more than an hour later.
Right. And I like Pompeo. Makes me look thin. I like it.
Brett Baer was telling us earlier that there is one theory that he may take over both jobs, Pompeo. He would be take over Secretary of State and
the National Security,
National Security Advisor. He already is Secretary of State.
John wasn't in line with what we were doing. And actually, in some cases, he thought it was too tough what we were doing. Mr. Tough Guy, you know, you have to go into Iraq. Going into Iraq was something that he felt very strongly about. So we're right now in for over $7 trillion into the Middle East. And I don't say it was his decision. You had a president and you had other people also, but he was very out there, I can tell you, and wanting to have them do it. And I disagreed with that decision from the beginning, even though I was a civilian, so nobody cared. But I was out there. I was outspoken about it. I thought it was a terrible mistake.
But then you hired him, right? You're the guy who, even though you knew that history, you thought it was a terrible mistake, you still said, that's our guy.
By the way, Mr. President, you're still a civilian. That is just making that point perfectly clear.
We were set back very badly when John Bolton talked about the Libyan model, and he made a mistake. And as soon as he mentioned that, the Libyan model, what a disaster. Take a look at what happened to Gaddafi with the Libyan model. And he's using that to make a deal with North Korea. And I don't blame Kim Jong-un for what he said after that. And he wanted nothing to do with John Bolton. And that's not a question of being tough. That's a question of being not smart to say something like that.
So we're going to assume from that, I'm sure that's classified information in some sort that just got
auto-declassified.
But apparently, John Bolton did say to Kim Jong Un, you know, it must have been some sort of veiled threat about, you know, if you lose your nuclear weapons, you know, because remember Gaddafi.
After the denuclearization process was
handed
out
over, then he would, yeah, they dragged him down the street
from a sewer pipe. Remember,
right, yes.
And he was, yeah,
was on the run. So, but that's I'm still uncomfortable. I have to say, I'm still uncomfortable with the president sucking up to Kim Jong Un. Kim Jong Un is totally right. No one says that. If any other president in the history of North Korea. Since North Korea has been around since 1952, since the Kim family, let's say, has been running the joint, if anybody else had said that, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, let me just keep going, Reagan, anybody, Bush 1, Clinton, Bush 2, Obama, anybody had said that, there would be upheaval. I think we just throw our arms up and we're like, what is he doing? And I know, I mean, listen, John Bolton, everybody we've talked to in inside Washington here, and conservative Republicans are like, okay, whatever. He was probably not the right guy for the job because he's just an television bomb thrower is what Bolton had become. A think tank guy turned television bomb thrower. Fine. All right. But the president's a television bomb thrower and firer. And The Apprentice. I'm fine.
Number four.
There's a time for love and a time for living.
Alyssa Milano sat down with Ted Cruz, and it was just as creepy as you thought it was going to be.
There was a hug involved.
Yeah.
Was it too long? I bet it was too long. It's like an over. He hung on a little too long, maybe.
Don't
I didn't see it.
Go. Don't let go.
Oh, my God. All right, so they sat down. They talked about gun control. And, well, I don't think there were many breakthroughs, but...
Alyssa and all three of you, thank you for just having a real conversation.
Thank you for the opportunity.
I think that's beneficial.
Really, I really appreciate the opportunity. Please do something about gun violence in our country.
You have my word. I will continue fighting, and I want to stop these criminals before they carry out their crimes.
The thing that's been so frustrating for me is that we should celebrate bipartisanship. That's how it's supposed to work.
Absolutely.
We need to keep working towards that, even if it's not working there right now.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Oh, very cordial.
Time to get out of my office now. Are you a stepmom?
Oh, gosh, Ro. So you want to get a drink after this?
Oh, boy. Well, after the meeting, she was asked by Chris Cuomo, how'd it go?
I think he gets it. Now, to understand it and then to have the courage and the fortitude to do something about it are two very, very different things. So I'm cautiously optimistic that he knows the issue and hopeful, I guess, that he's willing to do something about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
No.
Yeah, no.
For sure. It was a nice
gesture.
Nice gesture. Yeah, but it's a photo op for everybody. It doesn't. The problem is there's two things that may make some sort of sense here, and they would be in terms of restricting people's access to either making sure everybody has to go through some sort of licensing,
mm-hmm,
and restricting people's access to the semi-automatic assault style weapons. That's the question. I don't think there's a Republican on earth is going to do that until the NRA gets outed as literally even if it got outed as a part of the Putin regime in Russia, right? Is like literally it's the Kremlin West. I'd think that there would be, there's just enough people out there that have been indoctrinated into this thought that they are somehow going to save themselves or their family against a hoarding U.S. military that's wanting to take them with their AR. I don't know. That's at least the way I look at it. All right, let's check in with Kim at the bottom of the hour, and we'll find out then what is going to be happening, and then the year 3, 2, and 1.
Ro, it appears the First Lady may have influenced President Trump to pull the plug on flavored e-cigarettes. We'll tell you why coming up.
Catch Living Healthy Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans with health and fitness. Living Healthy Saturday at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Top five.
Number three.
Jimmy Kimmel took a shot at the Trump Store product lineup. You know, if you want to go to the Trump Store and get stuff for re-election campaign. So he has an idea for an action figure that looks like Donald Trump Jr.
Donald Trump Jr., he's so peculiar, he'll fight for daddy's love.
Hasbro presents G.I. Schmo.
Awesome!
DJ TJ doesn't run, fight, or work. But he comes with cool camouflage clothes and a vanilla latte with plastic straw.
Awesome!
He never served in the military, but he fights for freedom his own way. On Twitter, G.I. Schmo comes with a spray-on beard, a pile of daddy's money, and a helicopter to shoot elephants from.
He killed my little pony.
Oh. Oh. Wow. Took a dark turn.
Checking in at
number two.
Donald Sizemore's technique for fighting pushy telemarketers sure fits the bill, like many Americans. This Alabama man is sick of the constant interruptions to daily life, so he used his unique talent to get some revenge.
Hello? Hello? Are you there?
Is it the real Donald?
Yes, I'm Donald. This is Donald Sasmore. Who are you? Hello?
This is Laura from the Vegan Pharmacy. I'm calling with regards to your medication.
Oh, no. Am I in trouble? Hello? Hello?
Oh.
Are you there? Hello?
When does the telemarketer hang up on you? I guess that's how you do it.
When you're impersonating Donald Duck. You know what? I just figured it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Ted Cruz anytime a telemarketer calls.
Perfect. Absolutely will work. Every time.
How are you doing? I would like to avail myself of your special offer, but you're going to have to come over here. Take a meeting with me personally.
What are you wearing?
That would totally work, by the way.
So are you like a stepmom or stepsister or stepdaughter or anything like that?
Oh.
Oh, God. All right. Finally.
Number one.
Today, Americans commemorate 9/11 with solemn ceremonies and vows to never forget. 18 years after the deadliest terror attack on American soil. Victims' relatives assembled at Ground Zero, where the observance began with a moment of silence and tolling bells at 8:46 a.m., the exact time that the first hijacked plane slammed into the World Trade Center's North Tower. The President and First Lady laid a wreath at the Pentagon in remembrance of the 9/11 victims there. He also addressed the families.
Each of your lives tells the story of courage and character, virtue and valor, resilience and resolve, loyalty and love. This morning, we make a sacred vow to carry on this noble legacy. Today and every day, we pledge to honor our history, to treasure our liberty, to uplift our communities, to live up to our values, to prove worthy of our heroes, and above all, stronger than ever, to never, ever forget. We are now and will forever be one American family, united by patriotism, bound by destiny, and sustained by the faith of Almighty God.
It's the President of the United States at the Pentagon.
The top five at five.